Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. You know what this song is to me? This is junior high. The first time I felt any agency in my life whatsoever because my parents were very boomer parents. Not boomer, greatest generation parents. So you did what they said. Dad got two pork chops. You got what was left, you know, that kind of thing. And in junior high, the cafeteria, we had two lunch lines, the North and the South. The North was healthy food. And there were this twins in my grade, and they're the only ones who ever ate there because their parents made them. And the South line every day had burgers and fries and pizza, which was like revelatory to me. And just having a choice, any choice. And there was a soda machine and a jukebox that would play, you know, songs like this. And there really is something magical about that age. It's why Phoebe's not a problem, but it's why I cut her slack if she is, because it's intoxicating to grow up, right?
Yeah, you're first figuring out what you get to choose.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's not, it's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's especially cool when you're the one choosing, although the rest of us are like, okay, kid, figure something out.
Make a choice.
Not that I coach 14-year-olds for 11 years.
What are they, how have they changed over your tenure, if they have at all?
A little bit, not very much. I mean, you know, 14-year-old boys are still 14-year-old boys. Same interest.
Worst humans alive.
Different slang. They can be. They're not always. Most of them are pretty good. But, you know, the slang changes, like, hair changes a lot. Right now it's all about shag, and like 10, 11 years ago, everybody had their short haircut, and it was just, so it changes on all of that. But I think the biggest difference that you can notice is simply they are much more, what's the right word? They're much more connected than 10, 11 years ago.
Like, what do you mean?
Internet, you know, things that are happening around them, things that are going on. And not that it didn't exist before. It did 10 years ago, but it's accelerating. And
10 years before that, probably none of them were.
10 years before that, probably no, because yeah. You wouldn't have had, I mean, if you had a cell phone at 14, not necessarily, 20 years ago, you might not have. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't, probably as a didn't. Matter of fact. I mean, my kid's 27. She got her first cell phone at 13. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we allowed her to have one.
Yeah.
And so that's 14 years ago.
I think, too, we used to talk in terms of generations, but I think with technology, the internet, social media, I think things are evolving at such an accelerated rate that I feel like we're going to have to start talking in terms of like micro generations, because we have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, and an 11-year-old in our house. And even the difference between the 15-year-old and the 11-year-old, as far as their experiences, they're so different, because the 11-year-old is even more imbued in YouTube videos and TikTokers, things that have gotten bigger, even to a degree that his sister, who's only 4 years older, yeah, 3.5 years older, didn't experience.
Interesting.
I do think, though, that we make too broad observations based on those things. Like, the differences are subtle, but they're noticeable because you're not used to them. But when you just back out and say, all right, I had a group of 19 14-year-olds this year. How much different is that group in their day-to-day? How do they interact with each other? How do they interact with me as an adult that's an authority figure but not their parent? How do they interact with the world around them? I don't see a huge difference in 11 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not so much as acting out in that way as it is content and what's available. Because we'd be fooling ourselves if we said, even, did TikTok exist 4 years ago in the same way that it does now?
No.
Right, it didn't. So we'd be fooling ourselves if we didn't say what's out there, the content, what's entertainment, what's funny, what's, you know, not appropriate but available. That changes very quickly.
Yeah,
sure it does. But I think that's kind of, I mean, for those of us that are Gen X, we had an even bigger accelerant than our parents did. We had the internet breakout in our late teens, early 20s. That, I mean, is a much bigger game change than going from mostly being focused on Instagram and Twitter and things like that to TikTok. Like, that change is very minor compared to the change that is, first, you're closed off from the world and you don't have access to anything, to we now have access to everything.
So boomers have lived through a very interesting time in history.
Yeah.
They also have adopted social media, you know, in their own boomer kind of way. But did they have a sea change of technology?
Theirs would have been, if I'm looking at my parents, because my parents are that, right? They're 76 years old, and they would have been the ones that lived through cable coming into your home, where you went from having five channels and, you know, almost no options. And they were also, by the way, the generation that were young when TV became a thing, when you actually had a television in your home. So I think they did. I think those things were transformational. Look at how much TV changed politics.
Yeah.
Politics went from reading newspaper stories and talking about policy and talk to, like, wow, that guy looks better than the other guy. He talks better than the other guy. Yeah. He doesn't look nervous. And our visual impressions became more important to us individually than processing information.
I had therapy today, and we had an interesting conversation because my therapist is 75. He's semi-retired. He sees me in his home. It's a very nice little cozy setup we have. Sometimes I just show up there in the middle of the night. just knock on the window.
Just throw little pebbles at the window.
Have a little trouble out here. but he was saying that his profession changed completely with the advent of television, because prior to that, you could avoid media. You don't have to read books. You don't have to read newspapers. And there really wasn't a concerted effort to control you. And then once we got into, like, Milton Berle and Danny Kaye and Johnny Carson and all that kind of stuff, whoever, product manufacturers and society, government, decided, oh, we can shape these people. And with movies and television, we got the ideal. Daddy knows best, or father knows best, or, you know, Mike Brady and Ward Cleaver and Carol Brady and the Jetsons, and this is how a family should look. Well, no families look like that in reality. They've always been, you know, kind of weird. And the more you try to make them fit into a box, the more they bust out the walls. But people started being dissatisfied, and people started looking at what they were being presented. Like, this is the way a family's supposed to be, and my family's not like that, so there's something wrong with me. And that was the big, that's when the explosion in therapy and people wanting to be, you know, clinical licensed social workers and psychologists and therapists, because people needed it, because they were given this rubric. That's not the right word. What's the right word?
Rubric.
There you go. Rubric is a guy.
Rubric the monkey boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Dirty, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Mama.
But isn't that interesting that, you know, we were not okay, you know, because we're humans. Humans are by nature, at the top of the resumes, you're not okay. But we were relatively okay until media started telling us what we should be. And we're like, well, I'm not like that at all.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
I think it's a fair point. I mean, it wasn't that long before TV where you didn't have radio either. And you really, all you knew were the people that lived around you.
Right.
You know, and you would have a newspaper here if you read it. You know, you might get the occasional
pamphlet. Which
I'm sure
was full of very sparse. I mean, in my lifetime, I'm not that old. In my lifetime, the news was half an hour and then half an hour of national news. And that was it. And they managed to fit everything that they thought was important. And we accepted and said, yeah, that I feel caught up.
Yeah.
In half an hour.
Yeah. I mean, again, before the TV and radio, because they were close enough historically.
Yeah.
You don't want to lump them together because seeing is different than hearing. But it wasn't that long before that that it was there were no phones.
Right.
That it was a telegraph. And before that, there was, you had to get on a damn horse and spread the message that way.
You'd write a letter that took 3 months to get to somebody.
Right.
And it would take 3 months to get a response back.
Right. So that constant acceleration.
Which is how it was in South Roxanne in the 70s.
To me means that a lot of those changes are bigger than the ones, more seismic than the ones we see now. Even though the ones we see now are, to us, big changes because everything happens so fast.
Yeah.
Right. It's not as big of a sea change as television was, but it happens every few months.
Yeah.
There's a new thing. There's a new change.
It wouldn't be the start of the show unless I talked about coworkers. And so I'm going to. So yesterday I had a full coffee mug full of soda and ice. And I spilled it all over the kitchen. I mean, I caught it on the counter and I just dumped it. And Tina, who is our traffic director, who's a sweetheart, stayed there for 10 minutes helping me clean it up.
Oh, that's nice of Tina.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
She didn't have to do that.
But that's Tina, though. She's like that.
She is like that.
Yeah.
And then when Steve walked by, what'd I do, Rach?
You blamed the mess on Tina.
Yeah.
Can you believe she did this?
You would think she would
know
better.
And Rachel said, you're a bad person, and walked away.
Let's be honest, though. Steve knew the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
He knows when the two Steve people he's looking at.
And I'm cleaning anything.
He knows it's you.
He knows it's me.
Yeah, you're not helping someone else clean their mess.
Nice one, Tina.
He just walks by. Good try, Dave.
And then today, I was in the same kitchen, and Monterey walks out, and she goes, your boys are in there talking Star Wars. Yeah. She says, I just had to get out of that room.
In fairness, it was mostly me talking, Andrew kind of listening while he was trying to do things. And I was interrupting him doing things.
I had to go in after that. I'm like, thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
And I walk in and Andrew's like, so the Jedi are like supernatural.
See, I must have been in after that. Because
you kind of came in a short window.
Because I went in to get a sandwich and Andrew looked at me kind of like those hostages do where you have to keep smiling, but you're trying to send a message.
He was like holding up a newspaper.
Yeah. Like,
letters circled.
Blinking.
Kevin and I differ, I've noticed, in one really big way, which is that I am ashamed of myself, and Kevin's not. So, like, when Debbie walks in and I'm talking about the esoterics of the Jedi Order, I'm more like, and then, so, hi, Debbie, how are you? We were talking about J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
And Kevin is like, Debbie, get in on this.
Debbie, what do you think of the magical wizards from Star
Debbie,
Wars?
Have a seat. We have questions for you.
I did think it was funny when we were walking outside earlier, Dave, and we looked up at this building and there's like two little guys on the top of it. And Wheels is like, I've never noticed those little guys before. What are those? Griffins? And he's like, no, they're more of Pegasuses.
And I'm like, oh, flying horses.
I just kept on walking.
But they're cool. They're on top of the courthouse. Awesome. It was really cool. Like, we don't put stuff on top of things anymore.
Also, for all of you who don't come downtown very often or never during the work week, here's a delight you missed out on. We were walking down to lunch today, and right on the corner of where our building is.
Right at the KFC, there
was a guy with a cart evidently selling wine by the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he had like a work vest on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He wasn't working like he wasn't working for any agency or whatever.
Right. He looked as though he was at like a hotel bar at a convention.
Yeah.
But he's like on in front of the KFC.
Yeah, like he just like pulls out a couple of plastic cups and he's got like bottles of wine he's stacking up on the cart. He's gone when he came back though.
Yeah.
That seems
a little sketch.
Yes.
Well, the cops drove by and then he heard me say to you guys, is that guy selling wine? I think he was like, oh.
He's like, oh, gotta move.
Time to cheese it.
I'm sad he was gone. I was gonna get one and take a pic.
I think we should have gotten it right then. But it was a little intimidating the way he was standing there with
he didn't offer it to
wine.
Us.
Oh. He didn't.
He was friendly though. He was smiling.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wine by the glass. That's
you like
incredible.
A little Moscato with your KFC.
Yeah. Yeah. You think it's good wine?
I saw what kind of wine it was.
It didn't look awesome.
It would be a real Magic Beans situation if you sent me down one day to get KFC for you, and I come back with like several bottles of wine.
Magic Bean.
What?
Magic Bean.
Yeah,
Magic Beans.
Like
you're supposed to go
bean
buy stuff. Things,
like
but you bought Magic Beans instead.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody's trying to rescue me. Welcome back, guys. DGS 124. Andrew, here's one for you. Remember back when I was shaming you for getting the kids' meal at the barbecue place? A dad's hack for saving money has gone viral. He took his four kids. It's kind of pushing it. Did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
He took his four kids to the Texas Roadhouse. He ordered one full-size pulled pork sandwich, which was overloaded with meat. Then he used the free dinner rolls to make mini sandwiches for his kids and still had enough for himself, and they split the fries. So the total bill for five people, four kids and him, was $17.30. Anything wrong with that? If you're Texas Roadhouse, you're squinting at him?
Well, he's not tipping great, probably. I mean, I think that might be unfair.
There's
but
a judgment.
No, I mean, I'll say this, though, that he should be tipping based on the amount of work that you're going to be asking someone to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to clean up after five people as opposed to... You know, just the one person or whatever.
Because if this guy is doing pretty well for himself and they're taking vacations and doing everything that families do, you're kind of like, well, you know, that's kind of tough on the business. But if he is truly trying to make ends meet, it's kind of like he figured out a way to feed his family. So it's not knowing his situation. It's hard for me to judge because, like, say you're a single dad and you've got four kids and you're trying to feed them and take them out. And that's the way you do it. then that is a totally different situation than if he's a guy who's making a pretty good living and is just kind of like, I'm going to stick it to the man.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know what I mean?
I almost feel like, though, if you're going to do something like that, take it out. Like, do a takeout.
But then you can't get the free dinner rolls.
That's how I feel, too. Well, yeah, you can. You just ask for a side of rolls. I mean, they're going to give them to you.
Hmm. Or you have bread at home.
Or you have rolls at home that you bought at the store. And you do something. I mean, again, I get it. Sometimes you want the night out and you want to have the experience. But I'm also thinking about the people working and the people that are not going to get the tip. I feel like that's...
You're ordering and they're like, oh, nothing for the kids. He's like, no, we're fine.
Just waters.
Yeah.
And rolls.
Yeah. More rolls.
I mean, again, I get it. It's not stupid. And if the restaurant doesn't have an established policy on it, well, then fine. You know, you do what you want. But I'm thinking of the server as much as I'm thinking of anybody else, because people that are waiting tables need that money too. That's how they get paid. That's how they make money. Well, if they tip off of what the bill actually is, even a big tip on $17 is not much.
No.
And especially if your cleanup is going to be five different people's messes that you're going to be cleaning up, including four kids, which tend to make more of a mess. I think that those two should balance out more.
As a rule, though, I think it's fine, right? Like, you know, as long as you're being kind to the staff. Mm.
I mean, but I think you got tip right.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a rule, I think it's probably not fine unless you're in, you know, you're in a tough situation. Like, that's how I feel.
But even then, take it out. It's better. Then you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to tip.
Yeah, how was this rolled out? Was it the guy going online bragging about his money-saving
hack?
Like, that's the part that really doesn't sit right with
me. That's a good point, Rach. Yeah, when it's one thing if you do it sheepishly. Fine, I've been there. I didn't have money to buy Nick Christmas one year, and I forget how I scammed it, but I did.
Yep, been
there,
too.
I stole it from Target. but no, I think he went out there and said, like, hey, everyone, take it from me. Here's how you save
so what you're doing there is you're shorting the person that's waiting on you.
And the restaurant.
Yeah, I'm less worried about a big chain restaurant than I am about that person who's probably in a similar boat to you that you're in.
Good point.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing.
All right.
Had no connection.
Me neither.
Yeah.
No never connection. Play it again.
I'm like, oh, that's a song.
The Who.
Oh.
Andrew's dancing. But then again, Andrew's always dancing.
He's drunk dancing back there.
Yeah. What was he dancing to
Be
at lunch today?
Be careful with that one, Andrew.
What was he dancing to at lunch today?
Everything.
Oh, they were jamming at lunch.
Yeah.
We went down to
It was Wham that you
Euro
were dancing
Express.
To.
They started off with Jackson 5, and then September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and then Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
It was happy, happy.
Wow. It was, man.
Did you Trump dance before Trump, or did you learn that move from Trump?
I think he learned it from me.
I've been seeing that since before Trump.
Okay. So.
Really?
Yeah.
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 That's amazing.
Yeah. He's a dancer. You know what I'm singing today? Hold on. Let's just find out right now.
What were you thinking today?
How old is Dave Glover? 87. Okay,
what? You look great.
Good.
You do look incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, today we're wondering how old Klaibs is. He's going to be on with us instead of Ricky today. And if you are famous enough that you can ask your phone how old someone is and they tell you.
Yeah.
Clearly there are more famous Dave Glovers than me who are older. But that's like a real... I used to have a Wikipedia page. Someone put it up. This has been 15 years ago. And some Wikipedia a-hole, there are like eight people in the world who actually control
editors,
that. Took it down and said I wasn't famous enough to have a Wikipedia page.
I mean, come on.
I was glad they took it down because I don't need that sort of smoke.
No.
But I mean,
still, there are lots of Wikipedia pages for people that are in your
space. The standard has changed.
Yeah.
So I asked Perplexity, which is kind of like ChatGPT, but it's its own thing. Mm-hmm. How old is Dave Glover? And they are guessing that you are approximately 54 or 55 years old as of this year.
But it seems like it's
oh,
me?
Oh, it's definitely you. It's your picture
oh,
and everything.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Perplexity?
Perplexity.
That sounds like your AI is confused. That's like a bad...
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's the best AI I've used as far as just like asking questions. questions and getting like an actual detailed response.
One more stupid topic. I have a good topic that we're going to get to in like 2 minutes. But the place we went for lunch today, Euro Express, you get a cup and then they have a fountain soda. I never know when it's okay to refill it. If there are no signs saying you got to pay again, can you assume you can refill it?
Yes.
If you give me a paper cup and there's a self-serve machine.
Yeah, there's refills.
The assumption is free refills. Always.
Yeah, some places will have that, but they'll say there'll be a sign somewhere that says no refills or whatever. But
okay.
That's rare.
If you want to stop me, you're going to have to take me out. But yeah. If you got a
when I refilled mine, I made eye contact with the owner. I put on my happiest, nicest face. Like, thank you.
Yeah, I think the social contract is if you're getting if you're allowed to do it yourself, you're welcome to more than one serving.
So I'm somewhere between 55 and 87.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, which is accurate.
That is accurate.
You're in there somewhere.
Okay, here's my topic. I have a lot of friends who are middle-aged white guys, which means I know a lot of conservatives, and I have conversations with them, and I had a really interesting one just yesterday, and I was lamenting the fact that Trump was so mean about Joe Biden when he announced that he wasn't going to run, and we just watched Great Britain have their elections, and they fight really hard, and we've all seen Parliament, and they're real cheeky with their responses, but they're so civil, and I said, I miss civility. As I've said on the show before, I didn't like when Trump and Biden didn't shake hands. I didn't like when they were so, the hatred was palpable. That's not good for the country. Whether it's the leaders of our country or it's us, I am big on civility. And my friend told me, Dave, you are a naive wuss. Like, you need to deal with reality. That's why we love Trump, because there's none of the window dressing. There's no fake niceness. And I said, so you think civility is fake niceness? He said, I think that's exactly what civility is. We're now dealing with down and dirty, on the ground, facts and figures and telling the truth. And so when Joe Biden dropped out, most of us on the right side of the aisle think that he was a terrible president. And Trump said what we're all thinking. He was the worst president of all time. Terrible guy, terrible president, just go away. Whereas I wanted to hear him say something more traditional, like, we certainly have had our differences over the years, but he's a good, decent man, and he did his best, and I wish him luck in his retirement. That's what I wanted to hear, but evidently I'm a naive wuss.
Well, civility is fake niceness. That's the whole point of it, because you're not five. So you don't say everything that's on your mind. You don't indulge every emotion that you have every time you feel slighted, every time you feel like you're the victim, every time you feel like it's not fair, because that's a toddler. That's how toddlers act. That's why you teach them patience. That's why you teach them to ask nicely. That's why you teach them to share. And what we have in our political leaders is we have a bunch of toddlers who are indulging every emotion, which gives us license to indulge every emotion we have. And it's why Trump was so immensely popular, because if your option is self-restraint in any form or indulge your emotions and name call and just let people know this is what I think, well, of course you're going to do that. So yeah, civility is fake niceness. And what they're doing is they're pretending like somehow the name calling is more truthful or the name calling is brave, when really it's immaturity, it's self-indulgent, and it is juvenile.
Yeah, this is something I don't understand at all, the mentality that you're talking about, because nobody can live that way except wealthy people. Wealthy people can walk around and be a-holes all the time because they have the money to do whatever they want. If everybody shuts them out, it doesn't matter because they still have everything they need. Try being that way in your day-to-day life if you're not rich. Try being the guy that says everything that's on his mind. See how many friends you have. See how many people that want to work with you. See who's going to fire you and hire you, because you need to be like, you need to have blank you money to be that. Normal life is not like that. And here's the other thing I hate. I hate this idea that someone that talks tough is tough. What tough thing has Donald Trump ever done? Or Joe Biden, for that matter. Like, I'm talking about, like, what I consider tough is when you have to put something on the line that's very risky to you, whether it's your health, your wealth, your house, your ability to earn for your family. Things that mean something, not just tough talk. What would everybody out there think of the tough talker who walks around with five security guys surrounding him so that nobody can ever step up to him? But that guy's out there wanting to pick fights just in day-to-day life, not politics. Just a guy that's got some money and he wants to be the tough guy and he's going to go pick fights everywhere he goes because his bodyguards will kick anybody's ass that tries to start something. You would think that guy's a punk.
Well,
and I think that why do we think that that's tough? There is nothing tough about that. There is nothing tough about someone that's getting a deferment to avoid military service. The tough ones are the ones that did it, that accepted that they were going to be taken, that they're going to be drafted, that their lives were going to be on the line for the United States. Those are tough people.
Well, and I think when it comes to, I'm not playing the devil's advocate, but just both sides. I mean, you can be mad and you can disagree in a relationship, but once you have resentment towards the other side, it's pretty much over. And that's where we have become in our political parties. And Dave, you've talked about this before, how we just take ourselves so seriously. Like, it's funny, we're a very unserious people who take ourselves so seriously where on, and this could be more on the left and the progressive side where, you know, words are violence. And
yeah.
It's actual
yeah.
violence if you misgender me or if you make a joke about this
yep.
and it made me feel threatened. And at the same time, on the right, you have they're indulging their emotions and say, well, I want to say this. And then the left, they're offended by some of the offensive things the right said. The right's offended because sometimes they do feel trapped by what's correct or not correct to say. And it just builds there can be valid arguments on the left and valid arguments on the right when it comes to what language is appropriate or not, but that's not what the focus is. The focus is on the mm-hmm. extremes, and resentment builds.
Yes, and I think that's what is at the root of it, because you're 100% right, Amy, is that you have one group of people that is going to be upset about literally everything. Nothing's okay. Nothing's okay to say. Nothing's okay to do. And that makes people that don't intend anything bad, mm-hmm. but might slip up once in a while. It makes them feel like they're being attacked.
Yeah.
Now, there are some of those people that are jerks and they don't care about other people and they just don't like the fact that it's being thrown at them. But this back and forth, this defining of, you know, how you can treat people. You always say, well, Dave, you know, at some point people got to learn to give each other grace. If somebody is making a mistake with how they're using a certain term or how they're referring to someone, give them a little grace because they just might not know better. They might just be screwing up in the moment. They might just not know the specifics of a situation. So we have one side that doesn't give any grace. So we have another side that doesn't want to have any because they feel better if they're being aggressive.
I'm not a religious person, but a lot of people on the right are. How is that Christ-like? Isn't being Christ-like to some extent being fake nice? I mean,
well, no, it means
or being
real
actual nice.
Yeah.
Saying we yeah. disagreed on many things, but enjoy your retirement and you're a decent person because you mean it.
Yeah. And that's why, too, where I struggle because there are a lot of people who operate under the mantle of Christianity who really aren't Christians in the same way that there are pastors and preachers who are just exploiting people, right? It's become a business. And so there are people who call themselves Christians and there are actual Christians. And yes, a lot of things that are being done in the name of Christianity are not Christ-like at all. I think one of the things that bothers me so much, especially I saw it at the Republican National Convention, or people quoting Bible verses like why God is honoring Trump and just like so confidently applying all these verses, which A, could be out of context, B, could be the only verses they've read. But, you know, as someone who's studied the Bible, there's a reason there's the entire Bible. And I was actually reading a passage this weekend about whether it be false prophets or false preachers, taking Bible verses out of context and applying it for their own gain. And you see that a lot, and that bothers me.
Yeah. Rich, thoughts?
Just back to your original conversation you had, I just think it's kind of humorous because when I was in 97.1, the number one complaint I always got was that I was too mean to Trump. But Trump is like...
But it's okay for him to be mean.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right,
and that's what
right.
always would drive me crazy because I would just criticize him and point out, you know, the things that I saw and, you know, the things he was tweeting about. And if I felt were provocative or antagonistic or disrespectful to certain groups of people, I would say that. And people would say, you're always nitpicking him. You're always all over him. You're so mean to him. But then it's like, but you like him because he does that to the other side. It's just confusing. It's double speak. It's the kind of thing I can't think about it too long because it's designed to make no sense and it's designed to drive you crazy. So I just try to laugh at it and move on at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah. And being nasty is not being tough. Weak people are nasty all the time. You know, we have to define the difference more. And again, you can be like, I like this policy better, and I think this is tougher on an issue or whatever. But how you speak, the way you treat other people doesn't need to be affected by that. And I don't know, Amy, what's the golden rule?
Well, I mean, I don't...
I mean, you treat other people the way you want to be treated. I'm talking about just in general life. It can be biblical or not.
Amy didn't know it. Amy didn't know it. She didn't know it.
I got you, Amy.
Stumped her.
I don't like the old golden rule thing.
I love it.
Hey, no, this wrong. I couldn't even get it out. I'm being stupid. Wheels and Andrew, what do you think of this? Esports are now responsible for more sports injuries than real sports.
What?
I believe it.
People playing esports are getting all caught up and falling and running into things and breaking bones. You do that?
Didn't you break something?
I've broken chairs, like kicking them out of anger.
Oh.
I have tripped over things in celebration of victory. I've dealt with, like, you know, I think it's carpal tunnel, but like finger pain and like thumbs are sore, and there have been professional athletes that have missed games because of Guitar Hero.
Wow.
They're got elbow soreness from playing too much Guitar Hero.
Jeez.
Andrew,
yes,
is this the shame thing that you were talking about? How he has no shame about something like this?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, when I'm in like public and I'm talking about like Star Wars or whatever, and then like Debbie walks in or whatever, I get too shy to continue talking about it. But no, I don't know if I'd say I broke a chair in anger. I'd probably keep that one to myself. But I mean, you know.
I throw things.
Didn't you break a bone like last year or the year before?
Break a bone? No, tripping I haven't broken a bone in a while.
Tripping over like an ottoman or something? You hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely hurt myself doing that. Yeah. Like getting up, celebrating, and I tripped and fell over things and knocked over the, you know, the TV tray that's there. And yeah.
Ray, did you do that with Animal Crossing?
What's that?
Did you do that with Animal Crossing?
Oh, I'd get so mad.
Get all excited.
Well, I got some moves, man.
When you visited Andrew's place, you're like, he's got a damn palace.
Yeah. Like, when I celebrate, so not to brag, but last week I won Game 7 of the World Series in MLB The Show with a walk-off 3-run homer in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I've been working hard. And after I did it, I got up, I ran around the basement, my dogs were chasing me, and we had a little celebration.
That one I don't do. I might like pump a fist or whatever, but I don't like get up. I mean, it takes a lot to get me to get up already, but I don't like get up.
I take a bigger win than game seven.
I don't get up and like run around.
The dogs love that. They have fun and makes me laugh because then they're all like, yay, what did we win?
And you're like, nothing.
Nothing. You just get to play.
Just pride.
You get to play for no reason.
As much as you love Mason Jar, if he were doing this kind of thing,
it would be tough. It would be tough, but we...
But he makes you sandwiches, though, so...
He does.
That has to balance it out.
He's pretty amazing. Yeah. No, not really a gamer, Mason Jar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, I still like him.
Are you guys still best friends?
We're still... Yeah.
Are you two... I know you're not secret friends, because you're obviously friends, and we're on the air broadcasting, but I feel like you guys have your own little twins thing, where you have your own language.
Kevin and I?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
No, you and Amy.
I was like, nah. No, Kevin and I, we there's a shorthand that we understand, because we have similar...
I understand Dungeons and Dragons.
Hobbies. I don't know. It didn't take all that long.
No, it was pretty fast.
It was pretty quick. I mean, you know, there's things that, you know, we have that sort of advantage with each other of knowing. Like, I know when he starts talking about video games or whatever, I know exactly what he's, you know, referring to when he says stuff.
He was doing fake, like, Dungeons and Dragons talk. Like, he was telling me about this. Like I knew about it, but I kind of understood him, because even though I don't know exactly what he's talking about, I know generally what
he's
getting
into. My main way to bother Kevin is I ask him for advice about
and then I make up advice
completely unrelated to like magic or Dungeons and Dragons.
I feel like Andrew has either he has a secret relationship with everyone, or he makes you feel like he has a secret
Ooh,
relationship
good one.
With you.
Do you guys have a secret relationship?
I feel like we have something.
Yeah, there's something with
nice.
Amy. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we have something special.
It's
kind of
like in the morning,
is
for
it
example.
Is a strategy of yours to make people feel like that?
No, it's just, I don't know, it's just how it ends up.
He's a people person.
Yeah, it's friends.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is just the type of thing someone would do.
He's dancing again. He's doing the Donald Trump dance.
Yeah. Hey, last
quick
question. I know he's not here.
Couple of guys.
I know he's not here, but has it worked with Ronch?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you got your own. Yeah, see?
Yeah, that's a real deep secret.